President Trump said yesterday he was happy to report a ceasefire with Turkey. But today, Turkey's president threatened to ramp up military campaigns in northern Syria if that agreement isn't upheld. And there are reports of sporadic shelling and gunfire there despite the agreement. That ceasefire was brokered by Vice President Mike Pence after Turkey invaded Syria following President Trump's sudden decision to pull American troops out of the northern part of the country. Joining us now to break all of this down is Borzu Daragahi, international correspondent for the UK's Independent. He's in Istanbul. And Borzu, there has been a lot of disagreement about how the ceasefire should work. Can you tell us about what you know and what's happening on the ground?
What I know is every single party is sort of spinning it their way. I was just actually in a press briefing with the president of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, and you know, he was basically saying that they got everything they wanted from the Americans and that they will not pursue offensive operations for 120 hours to see if the Kurdish forces vacate certain areas. The SDF, the Kurdish-led forces that are in northeast Syria, have their kind of spin on it, saying that, you know, we're, you know, signing on to a cessation of hostilities and, you know, we're trying to protect our people. There will be no movement of people. I'm not sure if that means that they're going to, you know, just take their uniforms off and just remain in place and say we're no longer the SDF. And, you know, the Americans are hailing it as this great international accomplishment. On the ground, what it's meant so far is not much. I'm not at the border now, but I was until a couple days ago, and it was just ferocious fighting. And it, according to people that I'm talking to, it continues to be just as ferocious, maybe not airstrikes from the Turkish forces, but definitely rocket, small arms, heavy machine gun fire near constantly as Turkey's allies, the Syrian National Army, former amalgam of Syrian rebel groups, fights against the remnants of the YPG in certain areas.
I want to talk a little bit more about these Kurdish forces. You said many of them say they will just stay there. But if they vacate the area, as this agreement has been pushing them to, where will they go?
Further inland. The idea is that the YPG, the Kurdish-led force that is a cousin of the Kurdistan Workers' Party, the PKK, which has been at war for 40 years, they will move further south of a 32-kilometer or 20-mile or so buffer zone that Turkey once established, a sort of safe zone. And they will, you know, move their heavy weaponry and personnel south of that area.
Okay. As you said, everyone is spinning this in their favor, but I'm thinking about the winners and losers in all of this and breaking down the agreement. It seems like a big win for Turkey. The foreign minister there said, we got what we wanted. How does this agreement benefit Turkey?
I mean, this is a huge victory for Recep Tayyip Erdogan. He got the Trump administration to endorse a plan that he's had for 4 years. He's wanted this buffer zone, and he finally got the U.S. to sign on to it. Just the fact that the U.S. Vice President Mike Pence and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo came to Turkey almost kind of groveling to Erdogan to get this deal is a huge deal for them. The fact that they managed to help President Trump and save him from domestic political turmoil, he owes them at this point. And as one of my editors pointed out, it's like another foreign policy quid pro quo for the Trump administration. You get your safe zone. I get Pat Robertson to stop yelling at me about abandoning the Kurds.
Borzu, I want to ask you about Russia and Iran. How does this agreement benefit them?
I think it definitely benefits Russia. It emerges as the undisputed kingmaker in Syria, and Putin has managed to get on the good side of the Syrian regime, the good side of the Iranian regime, and the good side of the Turkish regime. And, you know, that is a huge advantage for Vladimir Putin. Everyone is going to Sochi on Tuesday, the Russian resort town, where they're going to, you know, continue to sort out the future of Syria. That's Tehran, Ankara and Moscow, without the U.S. involved at all.
Which really brings up for everyone, really, the U.S. reputation overall and the scope of influence. This actually, what does this say about U.S.'s reputation overall?
Well, let's be candid here. The U.S. doesn't have the most stellar reputation in this part of the world. But, you know, I think that people are watching the Trump show very, very closely from abroad. They're watching this kind of car wreck unfold with a mixture of fascination and, you know, humor as well. People are laughing about it, but they're also looking at ways to game it. And I think that, you know, countries from Turkey to, you know, the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Russia, Iran, they're all watching, but they're also kind of trying to figure out ways that they can manipulate the situation for their advantage, knowing that this is a kind of temporary opportunity where a wounded, weakened president, cornered, can do things to their advantage based on like a chummy phone call on a Sunday evening.
Borzu Daragahi, international correspondent for The Independent, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.